Today's daf is Gittin Daf Lamed Zayin, and we are two lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis Mai Prusbol. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Chaim Elazar Ben Yibodol Chaim Reb Shimshin Aryeh. So we're in the middle of a two daf sugya, the sugya of Prusbol, which was Hillel Hazaken's patent. It was his takana to address the fact that Yidden were violating the laws of Shmitas Ksafim. The introduction to today's daf was really yesterday's daf. We have a lot to get to, so we're going to jump right in. Zok the Gemara, two lines from the bottom. My Prusbol, what does the word Prusbol mean? So we know what it was coming to address, but as far as the etymology of the word, what is the literal translation and definition of the word Prusbol? I'm Rav Chizda said, Prois buli ubuti. So if you look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Yomid, Rashi says, Prois means takana. The Prusbol was a shtar that was put in place as a takana for the buli ubuti. Who are the buli ubuti? Says the Gemara, buli elu ashirim. The buli with the gvirim, the chsev, the makarta, this is a pasuk in the Teichacha that says, v'shavarti es ga'oin uschem, v'tani Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef taught in a braisa, who are the ga'oin uschem, elu buloi shebi Yehuda. It's referring to the gvirim of Yehuda. So you see the word buli means gvirim. Buti elu aniyim, buti are the aniyim. The chsev, the makarta, that is a pasuk in the Torah that says, havei tavitenu, which literally means that a person should loan money to an araman. The point is, being that have taviteno is in the context of an ani, thus buti is synonymous with ani. But the point is that the word prusbol is miloshen prois buli and prois buti. And the reason is because prusbol really addressed the aniyim and it addressed the ashirim. It was good for everybody. It was good for the aniyim because the ashirim didn't want to lend money. Now that they have the prusbol, they'll be able to collect even after Shemitah, so they're more prone to lend. It's good for the ashirim because Shemitah is not going to be meshamet erchayv anymore. So at the end of the day, the prusbol, it benefited everybody. It benefited the aniyim, it benefited the ashirim, and it's for that reason the word prusbol was chosen to describe this document. Now, just to be clear, the reason Hillel instituted Prusbol was not to benefit the Aniyim and to benefit the Ashirim. It's not like he saw some business idea and he said, let me institute this contract, it's going to be a win-win situation, and therefore we have the Prusbol. The Gemara said why Hillel instituted the Prusbol. The reason Hillel instituted the Prusbol is because he was trying to get the Yidden, the Ashirim, not to violate the Isidai Raisa of Hisham Lecha Penyeh Dover and Levavcha Blial Lemar Karva Shnasa Sheva Shnasa Shmita. So the reason, the Sibas HaTakana, was to prevent an Isidai Raisa from taking place. At the end of the day, the Prusbol, it's a Takana for the Anim, it's a Takana for the Ashirim, and that's indicative of the word Prusbol. Either way, Rav Amar Rav, the Lo'uza, Rav told a Lo'uza, Sarashi says, Lo'uza means a person that spoke a different language. So what language? We don't know. But Rav told a Lo'uza, my Prusbol. So it seems that he heard him use the word Prusbol. So Rav said, aha, oh, maybe this Yid will be able to tell me what the word Prusbol means. So he asked him, tell me, this word that you just used, what does it mean? Amalei, so he told him, Pursa Demilsa. It means a Takana for something, which is in line of with what Rav Chizda said, that Prusbol is Miloshin Prois, it's Miloshin Takana, it's coming to be Misakin something. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmul, Yisoymim ain't Srichin Prusbol. Yisoymim that Yarshin a loan as a malva from their father, they do not need to write a Prusbol. V'chein Tani Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama had a Braisa that said the same thing, Yisoymim ain't Srichin Prusbol. Now in Rami Bar Chama's Braisa, there was a Hezber. The Rabbi Gamliel, Ubeis Dinoi, Avi and Shalom Yisoyim. The reason is because Rabbi Gamliel and his Bezdin, and Lav Dafka Rabbi Gamliel, but the Groisa Batei Dinim are considered Avi and Shalom Yisoyim, and as a result, their loans do not require a Prusbol. What's the Bir Advarim? So Rashi says, and this is really Rashi L'Shitasai, that we spoke at in the introduction to the Sugi of Prusbol, that the way Prusbol works, the Gedda Advarim is, it's Nechshav, as if the Malva took his shtar and he handed it over to Bezdin. And one of the carve-outs to the laws of Shemitas Ksavim is a Moisesh Toroisav L'Bezdin. So really the idea of writing a Prusbol is taking your loan, giving Bez the power of attorney, they should be the ones now that are going to go collect the loan. Being that Rabbi Gamliel Bezina is Avi and Shal Yisayim, so without physically writing a prosbul, it's already as if the loan is Masur to Bez then, because they're the apotropis, they're Avi and Shal Yisayim, so you don't have to write a prosbul. The whole idea of prosbul is to get Bez then now to have the ability and the power, the authority to collect this loan. As it relates to Avi and Shal Yisayim, it's anyways in place, and it's for that reason Yisoyimim ain't tzrichim prosbol. Another halacha. Tanan hasam. We learned in the Mishnah Masech Tishvias ain't kaisim prosbol ela la karka. The only time we write a prosbol is if the loiva, the borrower, owns karka. However, if he doesn't own karka, then there's no prosbol. Now this is a very big chiddush. Somebody lends somebody money. Shmita comes. There's going to be shmitas ksafen. Hillel made a takana prosbol, but he said that the only time there's going to be the takana is if the loiva owns karka. If he doesn't own karka, there's no prosbul. Now, whether the loiva owns karka, doesn't own karka, can spiel sich a nafkamina in the sugyas of shibudim, but why in the world of takanas prosbul would it make a difference if the loiva owns karka? So Rashi bavarns the kasha, and Rashi says, the reason is very balabatish. It's because it's uncommon for somebody to lend somebody money if that person doesn't own any karka. Thus, a loan with a loiva doesn't own karka is a milsa de loy shricha. And b'milsud al-eshricha loy gazru bei rabbanah. So if Hillel, who's one of the rabbanim, is going to make a takana, the takana is going to be enforced only for what we would consider a typical and ordinary scenario. But for a loyva to not have karka is a milsud al-eshricha. So it has nothing to do with lamdis of ksubis and bava mitziah. It's pashit because it's a milsud al-eshricha, and a milsud al-eshricha loy gazru bei rabbanah. But the Mishnah says, what happens mainly? Let's say the loyva taka doesn't have any karka. Now the malva wants to be able to collect his loan even after Shemitah. The problem is, he can't write a prosbul. So the Mishnah says a chiddush. If he wants, he could be mezaka to the loiva a piece of property. Now he's going to own karka. If he's going to own karka, okay, now you can write a prosbul. And the Mishnah says that even a kolshu, give him a little bit of karka, that's going to be enough. A kama kolshu, how little is a kolshu? I'm Rav Chiya Barashi, I'm a Rav. Rav Chiya Barashi said the name of Rav, it's really little. Afilu kelach shal krov, even if it's going to be one stalk of a carob, that little would be enough. And the chiddush here is that even if the loan is worth a lot more than the karka, but as long as he owns a little bit of karka, that's going to be enough, you'll be able to write a prosbul. I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, "Afilu hishiloi makom etanu lekirayim kois fenol a prosbul." Even if he wasn't mezakitim, he didn't literally give it to him as a gift, but he only loaned it to him. So he said that you have a tanu lekirayim. If you'd like, I'm happy to allow you to store it now in my shed. You could put it in my kitchen. I'll loan you the land, the property that's underneath the Tanur Karayim. That in of itself is going to be enough. As long as he has some semblance of karka, that's enough. You should be able to write prosbul. The Gemara says, but is that last piece true? Afilu hishiloi makom letanur lekirayim. Even if he wasn't mezakit and he only loaned it to him, that would be fine. Eini v'tani hillel toward a brayse in case of prosbul ella al otzitz nakuv bilvad. The only time you can write a prosbul is if it's on an it's not good. In other words, if somebody wants to write a prosbul, you need the loiva should have karka. If he doesn't have proper karka, but he has an atzitz nakuv, that would be enough. So atzitz nakuv is something that came up already a few times in the Masechta. We had it on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, Daf Ches, and then we had it later on Daf Chaf Aleph. So the idea of an atzitz nakuv is one of the themes here in Masechta's Gittin. And we know an atzitz nakuv, a flower pot that is perforated, has a hole in the bottom, so the contents of the flower pot are considered to be mechubit to the ground. In this sugya, echapsech anaf gemina, that we look at the atzitz nakuv as a shtik karka. If it's a shtik karka, so the halach is, you'd be able to write a prosbul. But what's the Gemara's kashna? It sounds a little bit like nakuv in she'enu nakuv loy. That the only time you can write a prosbul is if the loiva has an atzitz nakuv. What if the loiva would have an atzitz she'enu nakuv? Then not. The Gemara's kashas v'amai. Why? V'ikam mekaymai. The atzitz nakuv is somewhere, right? It's not suspended in the air. L'chura, it's sitting on a place. That place. M'manavshach. If it belongs to the loiva, say he owns land. And even if it doesn't belong to the loiva, somebody is loaning him that makuv for him to be able to store his atzitz she'enu nakuv. So, if borrowing land is enough to say that, oh, I have karkin as a result, kais fenol a prosbul, so hayitachin, what does this mean? That it has to be dafkin atzitz nakuv. And if it has to be dafkin atzitz nakuv, that's right, that simply borrowing property wouldn't be enough. But the Gemara says, no, like tzricha, could be the mona chasichi. Maybe this atzitz actually was suspended in midair. Not literally, but it was on pegs. And as a result, it wasn't physically flat on the ground. If it's not physically flat on the ground, so it's for that reason he doesn't really have a makuv. Now, the truth is, the Rishonim ask, Ayin Rajba, that L'chur, the pegs themselves have to be somewhere. So the makam of the peg should be enough. And what are you going to tell me? Oh, it's so small. We said karka kosher would be enough. So I'm Berishai Ravashi. Says the Gemara, makni le gidma de dekla Ravashi. He was once makna aloiva, the stump of a deck of a kosher lea prosbol. And he felt that that was enough land for the malva now to be able to write a prosbol. Rabbanan de Beir Ravashi, masri milayu lahadadi. The Rabbanan de Beir Ravashi, so these were the rabbis in the court of Ravashi. So when it came time to write a prosbol, so Ravashi, in addition to being Chasimus HaTalmud, he is the one that presided together with Ravina over the redaction of the Shas. Ravashi also had a famous Bezdin. The Beidin of the Ravashi is something that's mentioned a lot. So this sounds more like something that's happening in the Bezdin of Ravashi, right? They're writing prosbols. So they were Masri Milayu Ladadi. If somebody went to Ravashi's Bezdin and he wanted a prosbol, so they would do it Bal Peh. This is a very big Kiddush that's coming out of the Supreme Court of Klal Yisrael. I mean, they didn't physically write it. Literally, Bal Peh, say over, Maisrani, whatever the Nusach of the prosbol is, that in of itself would be enough. Rabbi Yonis, Amasa Milu, Rabbi Chia Bar Rabba. Rabbi Yonasan, he once did the same thing. He verbally expressed the contents of a prosbol to Rabbi Chia Bar Rabba. Amalei, he told him, Srichna midi achrina, do I need anything else? Amalei, loy tzriches, no, this is enough. Tanu Rabbanan. So we're going back to what we just talked about, and that is that the only time we write prosbol as a Mishnah is if the loiva owns karka, says the Gemara, Abraisa, ain't loy karka. Let's say the loiva doesn't own any karka. Ula ariv yesh loy karka. However, there's a cosigner to this loan who is on the hook in the event that the loiva is not going to pay, and he does have karka, kaisvan of prosbol. That's going to be enough. So as long as one of the people responsible in this loan own karka, that's maspik. What happens if loyul arav elam karka, side the loiva, side the arav don't own karka, ulechayev lo yesh like karka. However, there's somebody that owes the loiva money, and that person owns karka. So it says the b'raisa kaisvan of prosbol. That would also be enough to write a prosbol with the Rabnosin. And the makar to that is Rabnosin. Which Rabnosin? The most famous Rabnosin in Shas. The Tanya. Rabnosin, I mean, Rabnosin said, minayu noich b'chaveir money. How do you know that if somebody owes somebody money, b'chaveir, b'chaveir, and that person owes somebody else? Minayu shemitzim, he's ever noich l'zeh. So Reuven owns Shimon and Shimon owns Levi. So the halach is that Levi can go to Reuven to collect the money. What we know is Shabud the Rabnosin. Talmud Levi is from a pasuk that says, v'nosan la'asher asham lo. We don't need to go through that drasha right now. Not such an easy drasha. But the point is, we know the famous chiddush of the Shibuda de Rab Nosson, and being that the malva can collect, in this case, not just from the loiva, not just from the ariv, but even to the Shibuda de Rab Nosson, even to the person that owes the money to the loiva, so we deher him as being a shtickle loiva, and if he owns karka, so he's a baldover in this loan, and that would be enough to satisfy the requirement of the Mishnah that you can write a principle based on the fact that at the very least he owns karka. So if the loiva owns karka, the ariv owns karka, or even someone that owes the loiva money, al Shibuda de Rab Nosson, that too would be enough. Tanan Hasam, another Mishnah in Mesech de Shvias that discusses the laws of principle. Hashvias mishametes es hamilva. Shvius is mishametes amilva. We all know. Bein b'shtar, says the Mishnah, bein shaloi b'shtar. And it doesn't matter if this milva was written in a shtar, it doesn't matter if it wasn't written in a shtar. So what exactly does that mean? So it was a major machloikis amayram. Rav Shmuel Dami Chavai, Rav Shmuel both said that when the Mishnah says bein b'shtar, bein shaloi b'shtar, it means as follows. Bein b'shtar means b'shtar sheyesh b'achrayas mechasam. Whether the shtar had achrayas nechasim written inside of it. So what's achrayas nechasim? Achrayas nechasim means where somebody lends somebody money and the loiva takes upon himself the achrayas, quote unquote, that in the event that someone is going to now own property that the loiva owned at the time of the loan, the malva will be able to collect even from that person, from the mishubadim. Meaning when a shtar has achrayas nechasim, what it means, it's important for the havana of the sugya, that the karka itself is now mishubit to the law. As opposed to a shtar that doesn't have achrayas nechasim, so we don't look at the heft of the karka as if it's mishubit as much. Rather, the nusach is more that as long as the loiva has this karka and he owes money to the malva, so good. Now the loiva is going to have a responsibility to pay the malva. But to the extent that he doesn't have it anymore, there's no shibud that's going to transfer over to whoever it is that does have it right now for the malva to be able to collect from him. But either way, Rav and Shmuel both said that when the Mishnah says, Hashvi'is Mishametah says, Hamilva bein b'shtar, it means, Sa'if the shtar has achrayas nechasim, and Shaloi b'shtar means b'shtar she'ein boy achrayas nechasim. So, if the shtar has achrayas nechasim, Shvi'is Mishametah. If it doesn't have achrayas nechasim, it's Mishametah. And Kolshke, Milva al-peh. And certainly, if it's a Milva al-peh, that loch is that Shvi'is is going to be Mishametah. Rabbi Yechim, Rabbi Shlokish, Rabbi Yechim, Rabbi Shlokish both said, no.
B'shtar she'im b'yachrayis nechasim. When the Mishnah said b'shtar, what does it mean? Shtar she'im b'yachrayis nechasim. And when the Mishnah says shaloi b'shtar, what it means is milva alpe. And those two types of loans, shmiyis is meshamet. Al shtar she'ish b'yachrayis nechasim. But a shtar that has achrayis nechasim, einoi meshamet. Dalach is that type of shtar, that type of loan. Shmita is not going to be meshamet. Why not? Why would Shemitah not be Meshamet, a milva that has a chayis nechasim? So says Rashi, Dibra maschel eno Meshamet, dikigavoy dam. Because a shtar like that, or a loan like that, we look at as if it's been collected as soon as the shtar was written. Ukemoisha hakarkois becheskas hamalveh. We look at it as if the loan is already, or the karka is already in the chazok of the malva, ukigvuyos mamish ve'in kan choy. So we look at it literally as if the malva collected it, and therefore we don't even see a choy. Being that the karka is meshubed, and if he sells it, and the next person sells it, the malva is always going to be able to go track down that piece of karka, which is not hard to do because it's nechsed aloy naidi, and you're going to be able to find it, and you're going to be able to take it. So in Lamdis, we look at it as if it's kigavui dami, and a shtar, and a loan, that's kigavui dami, shmitas ksofim is not going to have a role. What's the issa shmitas ksofim? It says in the Torah, lo yigois. Over here, I don't have to mon it. It's not something that I have to go ahead and collect because it's already kagavi. So the bottom line is, a major machloikis ha-mayra, Rav Shmuel Damri Chavayu on the one side, and Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish Damri Chavayu on the other side, the Chachmei Bavel, Kenega, the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, they mamish debated this very, very critical and crucial point, and that is, if someone has a shtar, she'ish be'ach reis nechasim, ishmita meshamet azasar t'choiv, or is it not meshamet azasar t'choiv, Rav Shmuel Damri Chavayu, yes. In fact, when the Mishnah says, in Masechet Shviyas, Hashviyas Meshamet Sanuva Bein Bishtar, it's referring to a shtar sheish by Achrayis Nechasim. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish Tamid Chavayu, no, they said that's Kegavui Damui, and as a result, there's no Layigos. So Shviyas is not going to be Meshamet Azasar T'Chay. What did the Mishnah at Shviyas mean when it said that Shviyas is Meshamet Amnuva Bein Bishtar? It meant a shtar sheim by Achrayis Nechasim. Zok the Gemara Tanya Kabbasit Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. A braisa that supports the shita of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which is that Shmitas Ksofim does not have an impact on a shtar sheyesh by achrayas nechasim. And the raya is from a brisa. Shtar choiv mishamid. A shtar choiv is mishamid. Vim yesh by achrayas nechasim. Einoy mishamid. Pretty straightforward. That if you have a shtar that doesn't have achrayas nechasim, the halach is Shvius is not Meshamet. Tanya Yiduch, another brisa that's also going to support Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Shtayim lo yisal da'achas balva asoy. What would be if someone loaned money to somebody else, and the loiva was Messiah. He designated a mokoy mesuyan for the malva to be able to collect his loan. Enei meshamet. The halacha is that shvius is not meshamet. Why? Rashi says, same reason, the kigavui mamish dami. Because we look at it as if it's gavui, and therefore shvius is not going to be meshamet. The loyoid, and not just that. This is the Tanya Kavasa. El afilu kosav kom nichsay achron varvon lecha. Even if the loyva would say that all my nechasim are achroi to this loan. In other words, it's a shtar sheyesh by achrayas. Ein a meshamet. Alach is not going to be meshamet. Which is what Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said. Thus we have two braises that support the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Zok the Gemara Maisa. Kravi the Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi had a relative. And Havalei Ahu Shtara. He had a shtar, and it said in it, achrayis nechasim. So he was a malva, he loaned money to somebody, and the shtar very clearly stipulated achrayis nechasim. Also, the comment to Rav Asi, he came to Rav Asi, this is Rav Asi's relative. Amalei told him, Meshamet? Oh, yeah, ain't a Meshamet. Tell me this loan. Can I collect it after Shvius or not? Amalei, so he told him, ain't a Meshamet? Absolutely not. Shafke. So he left Rav Asi, he went for a second opinion. He went to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei, he said, is it Meshamet? Is it not Meshamet? So he told him, Meshamet. No, it is Meshamet. Us Rav Asi, the comment to Rabbi Yochanan. So he went back to Rav Asi, told Rav Asi what happened. He said, it's interesting. You said, ain't a Meshamet, but Rabbi Yochanan actually said, Mishamet, L'chumra. So Rav Asi now goes to Rabbi Yochanan. He wanted to hear what Rabbi Yochanan had to say. So Rabbi Yochanan goes to Rav Asi goes to Rabbi Yochanan and he says, tell me, what's the halacha with a shtar sheish by achrayis nechasim? Amalei, so he told him, Mishamet to ain't Mishamet, Amalei Mishamet. He said, it's Mishamet. So Rav Asi said, I don't understand, but Amar hu da Amar ain't Mishamet. But you're the one, it's Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, you're the one that said that a shtar sheish by achrayis nechasim is ain't Mishamet. So why here did you say Mishamet? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan told him rather cryptically, this is the second time also, Masechet Gittin, where Rabbi Yochanan says the same exact
word for like a similar context. The last time was in the sugya of Ksab al Gabi Ksab, Sikra al Gabi, Yoy al Gabi Sikra,
Daf Yotesim et al. But either way, so he told him, Vichi Mipnesha Anu Medamin Nasa Maisa, what does he mean? So says Rashi, Nirabei Neinu, Ukimedumin Anu Kain.
We, who's the we? So it could be this is like a Bakovitic way to talk, but it's Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, right? The Amri Chavayo.
We think that this is the Pshat.
But we don't have a Klara Kabbalah. Because we don't have a Klara Kabbalah, so it's for that reason, I'm not comfortable actually paskining the Shiloh. So it's true, I tak a hold that a Shtar Sheish Be'achrayis Nechasim, Shemit is not Meshamid, but it takes places to actually implement such a thing, Lamaisa. Right? Like the tshuva from the Marshan. It's la halacha avaloi lamaisa. So he said, yeah, kibidumanani. We think so. But I'm not 100% sure, and therefore I'm not comfortable implementing. But Ravasi had such a good follow-up. Amalevi told him,
we had two braises like the Rebbe. Two braises like Rabbi Yochanan. So why are the braises not right? What are you saying? You have no Kabbalah. You do have a Kabbalah. You have two braises.
Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said, I'm a little bit uncomfortable relying on the braises because dumahi beshamahi. Maybe that braisa is really going according to Beshamay. The Amri, who have a shita throughout Shas, that shtaro oimid ligvois kegavoy dami. Beshamay has a shita that every single star, whether it has achrayis or doesn't have achrayis, it's always kegavoy dami with a lot of nafkaminas. But the point is that I was afraid that braisa that says that if you have a shtar sheish b'achrayis nechasim, that loch ish, mit is not meshamit. Why? Because of alumnus kegavoy dami. Maybe that's going to leave it to Beshamay, who's very, very much the proponent of this inyan that Ishtar is kegavoy dami with rizig and afkiminas la'alocha. But I'm not sure that in Beis Hillel's world, who holds that Ishtar ha'imid ligvais is really not kegavoy dami, that the halacha would be that even Ishtar sheyesh be'achrayis nechasim, it would be kegavoy that there should be no liga, no leyigas, that there shouldn't be a problem with shmitas kzofim. So it's true, I know there's a price, but I'm not 100% sure that this price is shitas Beis Hillel. It's again, I think so. But at the same time, it's not enough of a hechrich for me to pass in this way. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, that although Rabbi Yochanan Mishal Kedami Chavayu, this grace of Chiddush, that Ashtar Sheish Be'achrayis Nechasim Shvit is not Meshamed. But you see, Rabbi Yochanan held this way, Lahalacha, Avaloy Lamaisa, Tanan Hasim, another Mishnah, Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'isin. This is literally the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Hilchis Shmitas Ksofim and Hilchis Bruzbo, tucked away in Masechtas Gittin, Givaldi. Hamalvis Chaveirei Moi, Salamashkin. Somebody lends his friend money, and the Loiva gave the Malva a Mashkin. He gave him a piece of collateral. Or, if somebody lends somebody money, he takes a shtar and he hands it over to Bezdin. He says, Bezdin, do me a favor, you deal with this loan. The halacha is ein mashmit, ein mashamten. So both of these loans are not subject to the laws of shmitas ksafim. So the Gemara says, bishleim and moisesh the roifs lo bezdin. Bishleim, if someone gives over shtar to Bezdin, I understand why shmita is not mashamten. Why? The tafsu lebedina, because Bezdin is holding on to it, and zok Rashi the hefker and hefker, and hefker Bezdin hefker. Hefker Bezdin hefker is able to override shmitas ksafim. This is Rashi Lashitas, right? In the beginning of the sugya, that Rashi said, Sai according to Abaya, Sai according to Ravan. I'm not going to go back there. But according to both, or let me say a little differently. Rashi Lashitas, that said that Rava explained Hillel's Takana of Prozbol based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Because Hefker Bezdin Hefker in and of itself is enough to be able to override the parsha in the Torah of Shemitah's Ksafah. Tosfos held that even though Rava had said that Hefker Bezdin Hefker in the sugya of Prozbol, he was never coming to explain the initial institution of Prozbol, because Hefker Bezdin Hefker only has the ability to chepezech with dinei de rabbanon, but as it relates to the parasha shmitas ksofim de reisa, it wouldn't be able to. But this is Rashi Lashitase. But the bottom line is, so the Gemara says bishlam and moisesh the reisa of the Bezdin. I understand how that works. It works with halacha of Hefker Bezdin Hefker ela milval a mashkin. But if somebody lends somebody money, there's a mashkin. My timer. What does a mashkin have to do with anything? Amar Rava. Rava said, and we know the theme already, Mishum de Tofasle, because the Malva is always holding on to the Mashkin. And because he's holding on to the Mashkin, so therefore there's no Shmitas Ksofim. Why not? So Rashi, the Einoi Noisei V'Toivoi Klom. Because the Iser Shmitas Ksofim, right? This is the theme of the Daf, is that when you're being Toiveya, when you're being Goyver the loan, it's not so much that there's an outstanding loan and you're taking payment for the loan. The Torah says, lo yigois. You're not allowed to go and collect the loan. So in the event that, for example, it's a shtar sheyesh be'achrayis nechasin, or let's say the loiva designated something very, very specific, or let's say there was even a mashkin, where the malva has the thing, b'metzias in his rishus, even though the loan is outstanding, and this is being taken as payment for a loan, from an accounting perspective, it's all the same. But from a Poshut collections perspective, it's very, very different. How the collection happens chaps a tremendous nafkamin in the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim. This is another example of this. But anyway, that's what Rava said. So Rava said that the reason if there's a mashkin, there's no Shemitah's Ksafim, is simply because it's tafasle. It's in his rishos. And because it's in his rishos, therefore it's not going to be Amalei Abayas. Abaya told Rav, Elamayat, if that's the case. What happens if somebody lends somebody money? And now the malva's living in the chatzar of the laiva, the tafasle. He's a chayra typhus. He's holding on to the property of the loiva, he's living there. Hachinami delay neshamet. You can tell me that's enough that we should look at it kugavui damui. And as a result, therefore, there wouldn't be a halach of shmitas ksafim. And for whatever reason, Abaye felt no way. I mean, maybe not. We just went through so many different scenarios where there's no shmitas ksafim. Ef shetaka, arva arvet tzarech, right? But the Gemara says, no, pun intended. Amalei, so he told him, Shani mashkin to call him with Rabbi Yitzchak. No, I don't mean that it's in his reshus, and that's the point. The point is that when a malva has a loiva's mashkin, he actually has a kinyan in the mashkin. He has bailus in it. It's negeya, the laws of shomrim, and other areas of halacha as well. And because he has a kinyan in it, so it's as if it already is his. If it's his, then it's klom. But the fact that it's punked in my backyard, that wouldn't be enough. What's the makar that a mashkin is kanile, that the malva has a kinyan in the mashkin? It's Rabbi Yitzchak. It's Rabbi Yitzchak's famous shita. So whenever you learn the sugya mashkin, Mara always tells Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Minay lebalchayv shekain a mashkin." How do you know that a balchayv, a malva, has a kinyan in a mashkin? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Ulecha tiet stake." From this pasuk, we learn the Baal Chayv Shekein HaMashkin, the Baal Chayv owns a Mashkin. So what do you see in that pasuk? So the context of the pasuk is Hashav Toshav Leyes HaAvoit Kevoy HaShever Shemesh V'Shachav B'Salmos. Somebody loaned money to someone else. The Loiva is an Araman. The Malva took a Mashkin. What was the Mashkin? He took his big day Laila. So the Torah says that what you should do is when it comes nighttime, give him back the Mashkin. Take it back in the morning. But at night, you should give him his mashkin. And if you do that, if you do it, the Eibush is going to see this as a very, very righteous act. Rabbi Yitzchak was bothered that, why is this such a righteous act? If really the loiva is the one that owns the mashkin, and the Torah is telling you to give it to him, so why is this ulechot tietztaka? Anytime a yid does a mitzvah, it's a meir de gazach, it's a lechot tietztaka. But it's also luchati etzdaka, right? Vayachshavel etzdaka. But at the same time, why is the Torah drukking guys over here that we're going to view this as a meirah de gezach? Rabbi Yitzchak said, you know why? Because the Torah is coming to teach me the most important halacha in Hilchas Mashkin, and that is balchayvus kind of mashkin with so many nafkaminas halacha. The point is that this halacha, this mishnah mesach de shvius, is going b'shitas Rabbi Yitzchak. Balchayvus kind of mashkin, balchayvus kind of mashkin. So the malva has a kinyan already in the mominus, in the pirayin. If he has a kinyan in it, that's why shvita is not going to be mishnah. Nan hasam. Another Mishnah over there, being Masech Teshvias, discussing the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim. Hamachzer Chayv L'Chaver B'Shvias. This is very Mechudish Tegah Halach. What happens if somebody goes to his friend, the Levi goes to the Malva, B'Shvias, and he wants to pay back the loan? Now Rashi clarifies right away that although it sounds like this is happening during the seventh year, it's really happening after the seventh year. Because Shemitah's Ksafim, as we mentioned in the introduction to the Sugya, and Ezer Hashem will speak about it again in a few minutes in the raid, is in effect not during the seventh year, but goes into effect at the conclusion of the seventh year. Miketz Sheva Shonim. Tasa Shemitah. It happens after the 7 years. So Amach Sochev L'Chaver B'Shvias means that the seventh year passed, Shemitah's Ksafim went into effect, the loan, l'chura, is null and void, and now the loiva went to the malva, and he wants to pay back the loan. Now, obviously, there's no prosbul. If there's a prosbul, we're not having this conversation. Also, obviously, the malva didn't go over to the loiva and say, Rabbi, you owe me money, because atu b'rishi askinon, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about whether it was a loiva, you guys. We're talking lehedya, where the malva's an upgeet in a yid, and the loiva, at the same time, he feels that, I understand the Torah gives me this right, but I'm going to pass on this option that I have not to pay the loan. Poshit, it's uncomfortable. I want to pay the malva. So in the event that the loiva does that, so tzorich sheyoy maloy, the malva has a responsibility. Sounds like a mitzvah deiraisa to tell him mishamitani. He has to say, mishamitani, no, I want you to know I'm not taking payment for the loan. Vim amar loy afal pikein. But let's say the loiva says, I understand, I appreciate it, but abafar, I want to give it to you. Yikabale man. Then you can take it. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'zeh dvar hashmita. And we learn from here that there's an Indian, Rashi tzarech loy madibur shal shmita. Miloshin dibur, you have to say mishamar amitza. There's an Indian of a dibur shal shmita. And that's how this plays itself out. Zok de gemara, amar rabba. Rabba said, v'toli le ada amar hachi. That if the malva wants, the malva can, after he says that mishamet ani, he can force the loiva to say afal pike. So again, when the loiva goes to the malva on his own and he says that I want to pay the loan, the malva can't go over to the loiva. The loiva goes to the malva, I want to pay the loan. Malva has a mitzvah deiraisa, he has a chiyuv to say, v'zed varashmita, he has to say mishamadani. If the loiva says, I hear, aber lamaisa, beni uveincha, mahi, I want to pay this loan, so the malva has a right to take it. But not only does the malva have a right to take it, he could do this really old school. He can literally be tolile, sounds like he can hang him upside down, right? Kaviyochel ad amar hachi, until he says the words afalpi. You can go after him. It's ve'abayo. So when Abaya heard this halacha, he asked the kasha from a braisa. The braisa says like this, kishu noisin loy, in the event that the loiva is going to pay the malva, noch shmita, based on this afal pikein, al yoimalei, you shouldn't say b'chayvi ani noisin lucha. He shouldn't say, I'm giving it to you as a loan. Really, I know I'm not obligated to pay you. Why? Because Shemitah was Meshamet Techoiv. But at the same time, I'm giving it to you as a Matan. What's a bias, Kasha? It sounds like even if the loiv is going to pay on his own, without anyone violating the loyigoyis, without violating the Zedvara Shemitah, the Dibur of Shemitah. But you have to categorize this transaction as if I'm giving you a gift. Not as if it's payment of a loan. Now, if the malva is hanging this person upside down, yeah, literally the barrel of the gun is in his forehead, and that's how he's paying him. It doesn't sound like this is a matana. It sounds like he's clearly collecting payment for a loan. Amale. So the Gemara says, Rabbi told Abaya, toli leinami ad amar hachi. And chanami, it's koifenos that you emirates any. That's what this is. Meaning, you toli le until he says, don't just give it to me. Say be matana. Absolutely, I'm doing this with the goodness of my heart. That's the way this is supposed to happen. Zok de Gemara, Abba Marta, Abba Bar Marta, who Abba Bar Menyumi, so Abba Bar Marta, who was also Abba Bar Menyumi, so this is a nice segue from the two names sugi in the beginning of the daf. Now, but this is a little bit different. Abba Bar Marta means Abba's mother's name was Marta, and Abba Bar Menyumi is his father's name was Menyumi. So he was both. He was Abba Bar Marta, he was also Abba Bar Menyumi, but in terms of the way he was known, it seems like different people knew him different ways. The bottom line is, Habe Masik Be Rabbe Zuzi. As given shulde geld, so he owed Rabba money. Aisinu nahale b'shmiyas, and then after shmita he went to Rabba to make payment. Amale, so Rabba followed the halach and the mishnah, and he said mishamitani. No, so he said mishamitani. Oh, amazing! I was hoping that's what you were going to say. Shaklinu. And he left. Vazal, he went home. Asa Abaya. In the meantime, Abaya came to his Rabba. Who was Rabbi? Ashkechidava Otzev. He saw Rabbi was a little, he wasn't happy. He was Ba'atzvah. Amalei, am I Otzev Ma? He says, why does the Rebbe look so sad? Amalei, Hochi Avi Ma'isa. He says, I'll tell you the story. It came to pay the loan. And I was very excited, but I know the Mishnah, Vezed Varashmita. I said Meshametani, and then he left. So Abaya says, I'll take care of it. Also, Legabe. So this Abba Bar Marta, also known as Abba Bar Menyumi, gets a knock on the door. He comes, who's there? It's none other than Abaya. Amalei, Amtulei Zuzi Lamar. Tell me, you brought money to the Rebbe, you tried paying up a loan. Amalei, Amalei, my Amalecha. What did the Rebbe say? Amalei, Meshametani. He said, he's Meshabet. Amalei, Amalei, Amartlei, Afal Pike. Did you tell him, even though Meshametani, you want to pay the loan? Amalei, why? Amalei, the Amartlei, Afal Pike, and have a Shaklinu Minach. You know, had you said Afal Pike, the Rebbe was willing to take the money. I mean, he wasn't being Mevater on the loan, he just knew it's a mitzvah in the Torah. But really, he was going to take money. So he told him, Hashtamios, Amtinu Nahalei, the Emalei, Afal Pike. So I'm telling you, this is my good advice, go to Rabbi now, knock on his door, and say, Afal Pikein, I want to pay you. Ozel, Amtinu Nahalei. So he went, the Omalei, and he told him, Afal Pikein. And what's the end of the story? Shaklinu Minei. And Rabbi took the money. That's the end of the story. Omar, and then Rabbi said, Loi have a Daita Bahait Zum Rabbi Meikara. It's a chiddish that this person, he didn't know to say this Meikara, meaning he should have known this because this is not lachas. So even though the Mavla's not allowed to collect, and if the Leva wants to give it to him, he says, Afal Pikein, Abla Meisa. He says, Meshamerani, but if he says Afal Pikein, you can even force him to say Afal Pikein. That's what's happening over here. Abaye is sort of forcing him to say a shtickel af al pikein, right? But the point is that Yezichra allowed to take money. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Nachman. Another classic Gemara. And really, this next Gemara we're going to learn, which we're going to learn really, really quickly, Keherifayim, Kechaloyim Yov. But this next Gemara we're going to learn, it's a very Yisoidistik Gemara, not just in the Sugis of Prusbel, but really in Chuvis in general, in terms of, you know, understanding how Rabbanon used to look at situations. So Rabbi Yehuda said the name Rab Nachman. Neman Adam Loimar Prusbel Haya Biyadi V'Avad Mimeni. Very interesting chiddush. If a malva goes to a loiva to collect money, noch shmita, says, where's your prusbel? Ach vishtarech. So he says, I had a prusbel, v'ovam mimeni. He has an amonis. Chteisa, who said you have a prusbel? You have a prusbel, you have a prusbel. How am I supposed to believe you? You have a prusbel. My time. So said, Rav Nachman, because kima de tekinu rabbanon prusbel, being that the chachamim made a takana prusbel, there's an umdeno that loishove keteir v'ochel isura. That we assume for sure the person had a prosbol. That in and of itself, this Indian of Leishavik Yeter Vachli Surah is a very powerful umdana. It can be Maitzi Mammon. That's how powerful it is. And we would assume that this person had a prosbol, even though really there's no evidence that he had a prosbol. Yes, the Kamid Rav, when a prosbol situation was brought to Rav, or a Shtar Choyev came to Rav, Amalei's Rav would say, Midi prosbol Hayulach Abba. He would right away preempt it. He would say, tell me, maybe you had a prosbol. I mean, he wouldn't wait for the malva to have a prosbel, not have a prosbel. I had it, I lost it. He would preempt the conversation. Tell me, you had a prosbel? And the reason he did is because Kukoin Zay, he felt this is an example of where psach pichal ilim, where you're supposed to open up your mouth for the mute, right? There's an idea of taninon, where if someone doesn't necessarily know all the kayach hatainas that he has in court, so the court will appoint someone that will be able to taina for him. This was an example of Rav doing that. Zok to Gemara Tanan. We learned in a Mishnah that says v'chein bal choyv shemoytzi shtar choyv enim a prosbol hare elu loy yifro. Now this Mishnah is not a Masechta Shvias. This Mishnah is actually a Masechta Ksubis. And the Mishnah says that if a bal choyv pulls out a shtar choyv, it's noch Shvias, and he doesn't have a prosbol. The halach is don't pay it. Hare elu loy yifro. If you're a loiva, don't pay, because Shemitah was Meshamet alone. What's the kasha? The kasha is, if you're going to tell me that a malva always has an amonos to say that prusbol hoyoli, the avad mimeni, that I had a prusbol and I lost it, so why is it hare elu lo yifro? Now the truth is that you could always say that maybe the Mishnah is talking about where he's not tiny that. So Rashi bavarns the kasha, and Rashi says that al karchach b'detoyin hoyoli v'avad askina. That even though the Mishnah doesn't say it, but al karchach, there's no other way to learn this Mishnah. I mean, it sounds like Pashup Shana Mishnah. That's not what's happening. But Rashi says there is no possibility to learn the Mishnah not that way. Why? Because the Ilav Achi. Because otherwise, Srichel, maybe the Shvias Mishnah Metis, what's the Chiddush of the Halacha? Obviously. The Mishnah in Ksubis is telling me a Pasuk in Parashat Re'eh, a Sugi in Perkah Shelech. We know this. So why would the Tana Mishnah tell it to me? There must be a Knech. Must be there's a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that he's not even Neman to say that I lost my prosbol. It's a Kasha on what Rav Nachman says. Rav Nachman's Keneged a Mishnah. So the Mar says Tanoi. Yes, true, but really it's been Machloi Kishnoi. The Tanya, and it plays itself out. Mefurish in a Brisa. Maitzi Shtar Choyv, Tzorach Sheyei my prosbol. If someone's Maitzi Shtar Choyv, does he have to have a prosbol? Meaning, is he Neman to say I had a prosbol? It was never or not? That's a machloikis. It's this gross halacha of leishave keteira v'achal yisura, and this concludes the two geshmaka daf sugya of prusbel shmitas ksafim that's tucked away here in Perek HaShelech. So as it relates to raid, I think it's kedai to mention two chedushim of the rush as in Rabbeinu Ashim v'Rabbi Chiyah. The rishon is two very important rushes here in the sugya of Perek HaShelech, and I think it's kedai to mention both of them. The first is quoted by the Rosh Hashan, the Tor, right in the beginning of Hilchas Shemitah, which is a Chesha Mishpat, Simen Samach Zayin. The Tor brings that his father, the Rosh, had observed B'chayav as he was traveling, that there were a lot of kehilas of Yidden that weren't observing the laws of Shmitas Ksofen. The Kosav Adoni Yavi Arosh Zechreinu Levracha B'tshuva She'sha'alto She'noyegim Ba'aretz Hazois Ligvay Shtore She'ovar Aleim Shvias. So there was a land where people weren't observing the laws of Shmitas Ksofen. So the Rosh responds to the Shoyal as follows. He says Hevi Yodea She'temesi Alzeh Miyoyim Bo'i La'aretz Hazois, that this is something that always wondered me. V'tzavachti Kikruchya, and I pushed it, I yelled about it, for less than mashkech be. And nobody cared and nobody listened to what it was that I was saying. Va'amru, and they said, Ki kvar nagu came ba'aretz hazois, v'i efshel l'shanes haminik. They said, what should I do? This is a minig, and there's no way to change it. Va'amarti. And the Rosh said that I said, minig kozeh, shu'ulavar al divrei Torah, u'lahoytzi mamon shaloi kedin, ein leilech acharav. I know there's something called minig Yisrael Torah, but a minig that violates a parsha in the Torah of Shemitah's Ksofim, what kind of minig is that? And they told me and tried explaining what the Yishuv of the minig was, and the Rosh says that I wasn't so happy about it, but at the same time, I decided that I'm going to recuse myself, I'm just going to stand on the side, I'm not going to be moicha, but at the same time, I'm not going to be moided to it as well. So the Torah quotes one excerpt of one of the writings of the Rosh, where the Rosh had observed that people were not observing the laws of Shvias, and it was something that bothered the Rosh very, very much, to the point that he said, "Vitzavachti kekruchia." He said, "I yelled about it, v'lesta mashkechvi," and that nobody was listening to what it was I said. One of these writings of the Rosh is in Shailos HaTshuvos HaRosh. It's Klal Shivim v'Shiva. It's Ois Beis. Just to read one excerpt, B'lushoni Azov of the Rosh himself. Al dvar ha-shmita, as it relates to shmita, shamateti yadi, pun intended, lichtoy be'inyan shmita miyoyim ba'il aretz hazois. Said, I decided that I'm not going to write about shmita from the time that I came to this land. Ki dvarim rabim hayulim g'day le'yo'ir. Because I had a lot of dvarim with the g'day le'yo'ir. Madua eina mashmitim k'safim. Why are you not observing the laws of shmita's k'safim? Ba'amru, and they told me, shekvar nagu kala aretz hazois shaloy lahashmet. Because the minig here is not to keep shmita. V'efsha levatel haminig shenagu ba'yamim rabim. And you can't be mevatel a minig that people have been observing. Ki harbe milveis yeshonois yeshna ba'aretz hazois. He says, not just that, but every single mortgage is going to suddenly go into default. You have no idea what's going to happen if we're going to impose something like this. It's not shaykh. Ve'hiviu le'raya, and they brought a raya, mi minhagam, to their minig, mi yipui loshin shtoroseh. From the nusach of the shtoros that they used to use, v'loi nisyashafti b'taimah. But even though they showed me the nusach of their shtaris, I wasn't happy with what they showed me. However, said the Rosh, "Umatzasi hisnatzlus laastzmi al shmitas yadi she'eneni misoyer levatam anhakam." But then I was ma'ayin a little bit further, and I came up with a little bit of a hisnatzlus, meaning I was able to fend for myself why I wasn't being moicha even more. V'omer ani, and this is my ha'ara, to be miyashiv this minig, the efshir. Kivan shepashet haminig, shaloi lahashmet, being that the minig is that when it comes shmitas ksofim, the loan is mamish, oilam kimen hagei hoilech, v'hakol yoidin zeh, everybody knows that, meaning everyone knows that birashi askinon ke'ilu, everyone knows that we don't observe the laws of shmitas here. Havale kilu hisna hamalva al menash shaloi tashmitenu shvias. It blives as if there was a tanai in the loan, where the malv and the loiv agreed that this loan is going to take place on the condition shaloi tashmiteni b'shvias. And if you do that, then already the loan is going to be okay. And really, the makar to that is the Gemara Masechtas Makis, prime real estate, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says if a malva lends a loiv money and he says I'm doing it on the condition that shmita is not going to be meshamet, what's the loch? Is it good or is it not good? So the Gemara says it depends. Did you say almanash shaloi tashmiteni shvias, or did you say if you say, I want to have a loan, but I don't want the laws of Shemitah to have any governance over this loan, that's a masa mashakas about Torah, and Allah is tenai batal. If, however, it's not a tenai that Shviyas shouldn't have the power and the capabilities over this loan, no, Shemitah could do whatever Shemitah could do. But I'm making a present like a tenai with you. I'll lend you money on the condition that you're going to give me money after. However the cheshbon is going to be, you give it to Teres Matana, whatever. But the point is, we're doing it al manas that you will be able to, you'll have a responsibility, you have a chayv of some sorts to pay me. So that, it's a mefurish gemara is going to work. So said the Rosh, that I it bothered me tremendously, and I thought I should be moicha, and everything that the Gedoy Le'ir told me, I wasn't masking to. But I looked into it a little bit more. Umatzasi hisnatzlus la'atzmi, al shmitas yodi, she'eneni misoyer levato menogam. And that is, that it could be, being that the minig is not to write a prosbul. The minig is to just violate the law of Shemitah's Ksofim. So it could be it's begeder al menash shaloi tashmiteni. And if someone makes a tenai al menash shaloi tashmiteni, as long as the language is done properly, The halacha is that shvius is not meshamet alone, and maybe that is the yishuv to this minig, and that's why it's going to be okay. So we mentioned the Torah in the beginning of Simon Samach Zayin. He brings this inyan from his father, the Rosh, and the truth is that the Ramah brings this minig as well, right in the beginning of Hilchas Shmitas Ksafen. Just to read the opening lines of Hilchas Shmitas Ksafen from the Mechaba and Ramah. Shulchan Aruch says like this, Ein Shmitas Ksafen Noihagais Min HaTorah, Elo Bezman Shai Yovel Noihag. The only time Shmitas is Noihag Midei Raya is when Yovel is Noihag. When we did Rei Seifrim, however, Midei Rabbanon Shei Shmitas Ksafen Noihagais Bezman HaZeh B'chol Makom. But Midei Rabbanon Shmitas Ksafen is Noihag. This is Shitas Rebbe, that's mentioned in Daf Lamed Vavam and Aleph, in Perek HaSheilech, who holds Shmitas Bezman HaZeh is the Rabbanon, and that's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. That Shmitas Bezman HaZeh is not Noihag Min HaTorah. However, Midivrei Seifrim Shetei Shmitas Ksofim Leheges Bezman Azeh Bechol Mokin. It says the Ramah, Kein Hu Askomas HaPoiskim. This is the sheet of the Poiskim. Avol Yesh Oimrim, there is a Yesh Oimrim, the Ein Shmita Noiheges Bezman Azeh. That Shmita is not Noiheges Bezman Azeh, Afilu Midirabon. The nearest, says the Ramah, She'aleyem Somchu B'medinois Eilu, She'ein Noiag in Din Shmita Klau Bezman Azeh. And this is an old minik, says the Rama. So Rama says, I look around, nobody's being gurish with this ksofen. And I know the Rosh wrote about this already in a tshuv. And nobody listened to what the Rosh was saying. But the bottom line is that I think it could be that being soimich on a yesh oimrim that holds that shvius bezman hazeh, not only is it not noyig b'day raisa, but shvius bezman hazeh is not even noyig midrabon. This is a different pshat that the Rosh was saying. The Rosh himself in the Tshuva said that maybe the hisnatzlus is that it's begeder al menashe loy tashmitein. The Ramah's coming from a different angle. The Ramah said there's a yesh lemer that holds that shvius bezman hazeh is only the Rabbanon. Now the truth is, does that mean that when we say shvius bezman hazeh is not even knowing the Rabbanon, it means all shvius are only shmitas ksofen. The pashas is it's only shmitas ksofen. And the makar to it is a very, very stark makar. It's a sheet of one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Zrachi Alevi, but he said a davar muzmar. He said that why is it that shvius bezman hazeh is the Rabbanon? What's the lashon hamechaber? So we went through it a little bit better yesterday's daf. But the lashon hamechaber ain shmitos ksofim nayhagas min haTorah elo bezman shehayovel noyeg. That means shmitas ksofim is totally in yovel. Yovel is not noyeg today midai raisa. It's also not noyeg midai Rabbanon. So if shmitas ksofim is mitla toli v'koi in yovel, so then it's ma'id mestaber to say that if there's no yovel midrabanan, there should be no shmitas ksofim midrabanan either. But al kapanim, there is such a shita. It's a das yachid. It's a shita of Reb Zrachi Alevi, and the Ramah said that it could be. It's based on that there being noy. Then the Ramah gets involved in what exactly is the cheshbon of shmita. When is shmita? And really, this was also a very important akud in terms of understanding the different minhagim as related to shmita, and that's based on the fact that people weren't 100% sure when exactly shmita was. So it seems there was some confusion and some shaila somewhere along the way when exactly shmita was. In fact, the Ramah sorts it out. He says, "Ubecheshbon shnas hashmita nafa machloikes v'ha'iker sheshnas shin chaf." The Shnas Shin Chav Zayin Hoysa Shmita, Vim Kain Yi Shnas Shin Lamedalad Haba Leinu Letoiva Shmita Yirotzin Sheyivana Beis Hamikdash V'Yachzir Oz Limloi Shmita V'Yoyvlois Kiyovay Shiloi Lefra. But the bottom line is there was a little bit of a confusion. The Beis Halevi and Chela Gimel Siman Aleph that we spoke out of yesterday's daf, he brings that there was some that wanted a taina based on the fact that we don't know when Shmita is, being that Shvius Bezman Hazeh the Rabbanon. And there's a suffix when shvius is, so every shvius maybe is a suffix derabanan. And if every shvius is a suffix derabanan, so maybe you could say sveika derabanan lekula. This year shvius, maybe not. Next year shvius, maybe not. I mean that each shvius is a suffix derabanan, so maybe you can always say sveika derabanan lekula. Beis Halevi Shtel Su, the famous Ran, in Perek Arbe Psachim. The Gemara says in Psachim, Daf Kuf Ches Amid Aleph, that there's a mitzvah of Haseba, that Yidin Amikayim, they act like Bnei Chayrin by the Leil HaSeder. During the Dalet Kaisis, you have to be Bahaseba. But the Gemara says only by two of the Dalet Kaisis. So the Gemara says, which two? So Amri Lo Lahai Gisa, Amri Lo Lahai Gisa. Some say the first two, and some say the last two. So the Gemara came out that Hashtu the Itmar Hachi, the Itmar Hachi, being that we have a Shtikl Makar, that it's the first two, and we have a Shtikl Makar, that it's the last two. So what's the Halacha? Idi the Idi Bahaseba. So therefore, the Halacha is that all four Kaisis are going to end up having to have a Seba. Freit the Ran, I don't understand. Haseba is a mitzvah derabbanan. Dalet kaisis is the chamitzvah derabbanan. We're dealing here with dinei derabbanan. So if we're dealing with dinei derabbanan, you have a suffix. Is it the first two kaisis that need haseba, or is it the second two kaisis that need haseba? So why do we say that in a case of suffix, idividi by haseba fakert? We should say that in a case of suffix, none of them should need haseba. And the Ran says two terutzim. One terutz the Ran says is because being that it's not a groisa tircha to do it that way, so therefore you go luchomer. Even though sveik derabbanan lekula, but when there's no big tircha involved, you go luchomer. But then the Ran says a major lamdas. The Ran says that even though it's true, sveika the rabbanu lekula, or bevenirali the al karchach bay lemevad aseva bekulu, the in nezel lekula, amai neko bahani tfei mihani, the in neko betravayu hami akr mitzvah aseva legamri. So even though it's true, sveika the rabbanu lekula, but if as a result of your sveika the rabbanu lekula, you're going to be oikra mitzvah legamri, over there it's going to be different. So it's true, sveikid the rabbanu lekula, but not if you're being goyker mitzvah legami. So the Beis Halevi shtelzu this round to the shaila that if you're going to say that shmita is in shin lamed dalit, so what do you want from me? Oh no, maybe it's in shin lamed hay. So what do you want from me? So then you're going to end up not being observing shmita at all, and it's going to come out that shmita is bata legami, and therefore that's not going to be soymechan. Again, that's all happening in that mori de geshuka from the Beis Halevi. But the bottom line is this is the first rush, and that is the rush was ma'ira that b'shaita yidin were being very, very makel in the inyan of Shemitah's Ksofim. It was literally a mitzvah in the Torah that for whatever reason nobody was observing. And he was tzavach k'kruchya and nobody was mashkiach in him. And the Rosh went to great lengths to try to be miyash of this minig. And what the Rosh came up with was that maybe the reason yidin weren't observing the laws of Shemitah was based on the fact that being that no one kept it anyways, it's begeder amanash shaloi tashmitenu, which is something that works. It's a mafurish gemara makas daf gimel amid beis, and it was based on that they were doing that. The Ramban makes to that maybe they're being soimich on the sheet of Reb Zrachi Alevi, the Baal Amar, who holds that being that shemitas ksofim is totally in yovel, and yovel is not even noig in the rabbanon, so maybe shemitas ksofim is also not noig in the rabbanon. And another sniff lahakel, maybe again ayin beis Alevi, is that could be they didn't know exactly what shemitah was, and therefore being that shvius bezman azez anyways only the rabbanon. So it becomes a gather of sveik derabbanon, and it becomes a gather of sveik derabbanon, sveik derabbanon. That's the first rush. Second rush is right here in Perek HaShaleach, Afen Art. And that rush is discussing the Iker Parsha in the Torah of Shemitah's Ksafim. So we mentioned that there's two dinim in the mitzvah of Shemitah. You have the Parsha of Shemitah's Karka, and you have the Parsha of Shemitah's Ksafim. Shemitah's Karka, it's mentioned in the Torah of Parshas Bahar. Sot Chalei Sizra, Becham Chalei Sizmar. Shemitah's Ksofim is mentioned in Mishnah Torah. It's one of the mitzvahs that are mentioned in Mishnah Torah. It's in Parshas Re'eh, and it's Negeya, outstanding loans. One of the big nafgaminas between Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Ksofim is when exactly is the Shemitah Chal. Shemitah's Karka is the seventh year. So just like we rest on the seventh day in Eretz Yisrael, the land rests on the seventh year. Shemitah's Ksofim is not the seventh year, it's the end of the seventh year. The Pasuk says, Miketz Sheva Shonim Tasa Shemitah. At the conclusion of the seventh year, that's when Shemitah's Ksofim goes into effect. So it's a very, very fundamental difference between these two parshias. Shemitah's Karka is the entire seventh year. It starts when? At the beginning of the year. It goes through the year, as opposed to Shemitah's Ksofim, that's something that goes into effect at the end of the year, meaning mamish, right when the eighth year is about to start, Miketz Sheva Shonim, that's when it's supposed to be Tasa Shemitah. The makar to that is, we spoke it out in the sugya, but the real makar to it is the Gemara Masechtas Eirichin, Tav Chof Ches Amid Beis, Ayin Shah, Miketz Sheva Shonim Tasa Shemitah means that it has to be at the end of the year. It's actually interesting that if you look at the Eben Ezra al HaTorah on the word, Miketz Sheva Shonim Tasa Shemitah, says the Eben Ezra, what does Miketz mean? Betchilas Hashon. What it means is the beginning of the year. In other words, the Eben Ezra, as a parshan who's explaining Pshutai Shal Mikra, was very, very bothered. And that is, Miketz Sheva Shonim Tasa Shemitah?
It's not Miketz Shev Hashanim. Everyone knows Shemitah is the beginning of the year. V'yei Shloimar said to Eben Ezra that you have to say that the word Miketz means over here not the end of the year, but rather means B'tchilas Hashanim. The Ramban brings the Eben Ezra and he's Marchiv on the Eben Ezra. Then he asks on the Eben Ezra, but first he's Marchiv. He says that this, that Eben Ezra taich the word Miketz to meaning Tchilas Hashanah, he says you shouldn't be so dishroken from this taich because it actually has a plot. He says, because the word Miketz, even though we traditionally think that means the end, it doesn't mean the end. What it means is the ends, the borders, from Kotza El HaKotza, which means from the beginning to the end, or from the end to the beginning, from sea to shining sea. So just in terms of Pirush HaMilos, right, the daf started with the etymology of the word Prosbul, so now what does the word Miketz mean? Miketz doesn't mean the end, that's not what it means. It means one of the ends, and really it can mean the beginning also. But the Ramban has, at the end of the day, a problem with Miketz in this pasuk meaning the beginning of the year, and he says besides Keneged Chazal. Chazal said Erichin Chavches Amid Beis that when a Shvius is Meshamet at the end of the year. So the bottom line is Halacha Revachi B'Yisrael. Everybody that learned today's daf knows this, but this is the Dover Pashat Adla Ma'oid that Shemitah's Ksofim does not go into effect in the beginning of the year, but rather goes into effect at the end of the year. Stating that, the Rosh in Perek HaShelech, and he says this twice. He says it in Simen Yud Ches, and he says it in Simen Chav. Said a gewaldige, gewaldige chiddush. I'll read it from Simen Chav. Says the Rosh, V'had de'ein koisvim pruzbol b'shvius. This that the halacha is, they don't write a pruzbol during the Shemitah year. Now, whoever heard such a thing? This is the Rosh's chiddush. Right, the Rosh says a chiddush, and now he's explaining himself. This that you don't write a pruzbol during the seventh year, even though really Shvius is not meshamet until the end of the seventh year, I think that pshat is just based on reading the psukim, because the pasuk says miketz shev hashanim tase shmita v'zed var hashmita shomed kobal mashe yodai. Mipashtei dekra yofina. Just from reading the pasuk, I think you learn the ain Shvius meshamet esel b'soif. That Shvius is only Meshamet at the end of the year. Kiddich Ziv, like the Pasuk says, Miketz Shev HaShanim Tasa Shmita, V'zeh Dvar HaShmita. She'enoi Elo B'soif HaSheva Shomoy Kobel Mashayod. So the Pasuk is clearly saying that when the Shemitah goes into effect, it goes into effect at the end of the seventh year. Avo Miyad K'shehischilo Shnas HaShmita. But says the Rosh, here's the punchline, that as soon as the seventh year starts, Ein Bezdin Boitkin Lidvoy Shumchay. At that point, Beis Din is not going to get involved in making sure loivers pay up their loans. The gamamalva ba'atzmoi ein loy ligos. The malv himself is not let to go after the loiver. Dichsev loyigos es achiv the esreiu ki korish mita lashem miyad shenichnas hashmita. So says the Rosh that I think there's two dinim in the parish of Shemitah's Ksofim itself. There's miketz shev hashanim. And then there's what goes into effect, Kikara Shemitah Lashem, as soon as Shemitah actually starts. The loan becomes null and void at the end of the seventh year. As opposed to the Iser Lo Yigois, the lav that the Malva has to go collect his loan, that's something that goes into effect at the beginning of the seventh year. It says, this is the way you read the Pasuk. Miketz Shev HaShanim Tasa Shemitah, at the end of the seventh year, Zeh Tasa Shemitah. What does it mean, Tasa Shemitah? V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah. This is what it means when I say Tasa Shemitah. V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah. This is the deeper of the Shemitah. Shomit Kol B'mashe Yodai Asheya Shebereyeh. That any outstanding loan is null and void. Gamarnu, I don't owe you the money anymore. You take the money, you're Ganev. I don't owe you the money. Period. This is in the middle of a pasuk. Lo yigois esreyeyu ves achiv. In addition to that, there's a lav in the Torah of lo yigois ki karash mita lashem. And when does that go into effect? As soon as it's karash mita lashem. When is it karash mita lashem? Says the Rosh, learn parashas Bahar. That's the beginning of the seventh year. And being that that's the regular shmita, the lav lo yigois is going to go into effect right away. So there's a bezundera tasa shmita that's miketz shev hashanim. But that tasa shmita is vezed vara shmita. That's the shamay. That's all it is. It's the fact that the loan is null and void. But even Parshas, Shemitah's Ksofim at HaShaychis with the regular Shemitah. Because Lo Yigo says, Reyeyu V'Ezachiv, Ki Kor HaShemitah LaShem, as soon as it's the regular Shemitah, at that point there's already going to be a lav in the Torah of Lo Yigo says, Reyeyu V'Ezachiv. This is the Taichin, the Pasuk of the Rosh. But the Chiddush, the Halach of the Rosh is Nifludig. And that is, that Shemitah's Ksofim goes into effect when? It's Tudinim. Part of it goes into effect, Miketz Shev HaShanim. But that's only Vizet Vara Shmita Shomit Kol B'Mashiyot. It's only one chelik of it. It's one din. It's one part. One component of Shmita Tzksofen.
But there's another part of Shemitah's Ksafim that goes into effect as soon as it's Kikar Shemitah Lashem, which is the beginning of the seventh year. And that's Lo Yigois Esrei Eyu the Es Achiv Kikar Shemitah Lashem. The love of Lo Yigois, that's something that goes into effect right away. There's a very big nafkimina halacha that emerges from this rush. And the rush spoke it out himself. When do you write the prosbul? When are you supposed to write a prosbul? L'chura, you would think, you're supposed to write the prosbul at the end of the seventh year. And that's the minig Yisrael, to write the prosbul Erev Rosh Hashanah of the year that's the end of Shemitah. Because when does Shemitah's Ksofim happen? It happens, Miketz, Mamish Baishkiya of Rosh Hashanah, Mamish, when you're about to start saying Hamelech, that's when Shemitah's Ksofim happens. So that's when you want the prosbul to take place. According to the Rosh, there's an element of Shemitah's Ksofim that goes into effect already in the beginning of the seventh year. And if that's the case, in order to be able to be goyved alone during the seventh year and not violate the Issa Deiraisa of Lo Yigois, what you would have no choice to do is you would have to write the prosbul already when? You would have to write the prosbul at the beginning of the seventh year. You'd have to write it Erev Rosh Hashanah, not of the Shemitah year, of the sixth year leading into Shemitah. The emes is the Torah. And Siman Samach Zayin says as follows. He says, "Ve'ein kois v'noisai." If you want to write a prosbul, you can write it whenever you want. Elo ad soif shana shishis. Until the end of the sixth year. You have to make sure that you write it right before Shemitah. Aber nichnas shana shviyas, as soon as the seventh year starts. Afal pi she'ein meshametes adayin elo besoifo. Even though Shemitah is really not going to be meshamet for a whole nother year. Afilu hachi ein kois v'noisai. But at that point, you already can't write the prosbul. You're already too late. And the reason it's already too late is because the tour was going b'shitas aviv Harash, who held that there's a second din in Shemitah. The second din is the lava of Yigos. And that goes into effect, Kikar Shemitah Lashem, the beginning of the seventh year. And that's why you would have to write the prosbul already before the seventh year. And that is what the Torah says. If you look in the Beis Yosef says that even though the Torah, Kedarke Bakoidish, went in the Derech of Avoysav, and he paskin like the Rosh is very big Chiddush, he said, but there's no other Rishon that says this Chiddush. He says, the Emes says, I looked around and I found one other Rishon, the Balo Itor, but he says that the Ramban, in one of his Truvas, brings the Bala Itur and says that it was clear to him that the Bala Itur said this Chiddush, that it could be Shemitah's Ksofim happens at the beginning of the year based on a Girsa Mishubeshes. So he says, the only Tana de Messiah to the Rosh is this Bala Itur, who the Ramban was already made, said his Shita based on a Tos. So says the Beis Yosef at the end of the day, even though the Rosh said that you're supposed to write the prosbul before the seventh year, the Torah brings it. Rabbi says, L'chayre is a das yochin. If it's a das yochin, I don't think this is something you have to be chayish for. And L'shitasai, the Beis Yosef, in Shulchan Aruch, in Mechaber, in Simen Samach Zayin Seflam, it says, Ein shvius meshametes ksofim, elo besoifo. Lefichach, haloyves chaveroi beshvius atzmo, goyve choyve kol ha'shona bebesin. Ukishetishke chama b'leo Rosh Hashanah. Shal moitzoi shvius avrachoy. But the bottom line is, it's mefurish. In the Chaber, he doesn't even bring the Rosh, and he says that when you write the prosbul, you can write it all the way until the end of the seventh year, because there is no element of Shemitah's Ksofim until Miketz Sheva Shana. But either way, these were the two Chiddushim of the Rosh that I think was poshed very, very nachutz to come away with. The first is this Inyan that the Torah brought B'Shem Aviv HaRosh in the beginning of Siman Samach Zayin. The second is he brought it at the end of Siman Samach Zayin. The first is that the Rosh had observed that people were being very, very makel in the Inyan of Shemitah's Ksofim. He was Sovach Kekruchi of Alesta Ashkechbe, and he mamish went to great lengths to be misnatzel the Minig Yisrael, and he decided that Shamata Tiyati, right? You can't forget that pun. He said that I'm going to be Mekayim my mitzvah Shemitah, and I'm not going to be Meicha, because if this is the Minig, then I'm going to be Miyashiv it. And he was Miyashiv the Minig based on the Gemara Masechtas Makis Taf Gimel Amud Beis, that to the extent that no one is Geir Shemitah's Ksofim, so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because then it applies as if you made a Tanai on Menashe Lo Yitash Mitenu, and based on that you can go away. The second Chiddush of the Rosh is the Rosh in Perek HaSheleach, where the Rosh says that even though the Pasuk says Miketz Sheva Hashanah, not like the Eben Ezra, Miketz Sheva Hashanah at the end of the seventh year, a Gemara Mefureshes Abavli and Erichin Chavches Amud Beis, but there is an element of Shemitah's Ksofim that goes into effect in the beginning of the seventh year. So there's really this two drachim Lefanenu right now, in terms of how we can be mashlim this raid by. One is the ktsois in the beginning, Sima Samach Zayin Sif Aleph. The other is a little bit lighter. We're going to take the lighter approach. And it's Pashit Lahashlomasa Inyan, Ba'ufen Nifla Adla Ma'oid, I believe, to what it is that we talked a little bit about last week. In fact, this is almost, dare we say, L'shem Yichud part 4. So it's interesting. Both of these Chedushim of the Rosh, both of them, literally, are mentioned in Tshuvas Chassam Sofer's in a very, very interesting context. The first is mentioned, meaning the first of the Chidushim of the Rosh was mentioned in a Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. It's in Yerideya, Chelek Aleph, Simin Yutes. The context of this tshuva, and Be'ezer Hashem, this will be posted as a related rabbi, because we once went through the actual tshuva when we were learning Masechtus Chulin, was sent to the Chassam Sofer by a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So there was a Talmud that came up with a chumrah. Most schlachthoises, when they have nevelas and treifas, what do you do with it? You sell it to the Ein Yehudim, and like this, it doesn't go to total waste. And the Shoyl had a little bit of a problem based on a Gemara in Masechtas Chulin and Eivim and Achai issue, and he wanted to be Mechadish, that maybe it's not so pasha. This is not something you should be able to do. He wrote a whole Sefer on it, and he sent it to his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, and he asked the Chassam Sofer, what does the Rebbe hold? Meaning, the minig in Klal Yisrael is that if you have an Avela, you have a Treifa, you sell it to the guy. But he held, based on a good lumdus, that maybe this is not something that's okay. So the Chassam Sofer writes back to him as follows. The Iker of the Tshuva is dealing with the merit of the Taina. At the end, he says that I'm going to attach to you something that I wrote on this Inyan years ago. But the bottom line is this is the part that we need. He says, V'yanu b'yan, ki kosha ma'oy lishboy minig Yisrael afilu l'hakel. He says, it's very, very difficult to break a minig Yisrael. Meaning, even if the minig Yisrael is a kula, but it doesn't matter. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. Meaning, what do you want? You're telling me that all the schlachtoises for generations, that the minhag always was, is that if you had a treif, you had an avail, you went and you sold it to the guy. It's aser, based on the chab, whatever it is. But you can't do that. And said the Chassam Sofer, now I know that, ure'ei kama hatriach harosh. Because look at what the Rosh did. Liyashev minhag kula basiyas pruzbul bizman hazeh. Ayin tur chayshavish bat simen samach zayin. He says, in fact, vashona hazois yishna shmita. He says, this year is a shmita year. Vani noyed va'atzmi lasas pruzbul erev Rosh Hashanah b'tzois Hashem. V'chein ro'isi raboisai noychei nefesh noyakim. U'mikomokam loy rifreif echad ala minhag. But at the same time, there was a minig where people, they didn't write pruzbuls like I'm going to do. But rather, they went ahead, they weren't gairish mitas ksofen. V'chein. And so why? Why would the Rosh have done that? Why would he have tried so hard, said the Chassam Sofer, to be miyash of this minig? It's a minig like the Rosh started off, of Ivri Avera. So if it's a minig of Ivri Avera, why are we trying to be miyash of such a minig? Says the Torah says, because it's very hard to break a minig Yisrael. Minig Yisrael Torah, Befrat Be'ini Chassam Sofer, was something that was very, very stark. And he says, you can't break such a minig. Said the Chassam Sofer, I'll tell you another mashal. V'chein kama torchu liyashiv minig heter b'chadosh lifnei yomer. Says there are people that are not makbid on chadosh. And there's so much rate, the bach, right? There's so much Torah on being miyashiv chadosh. V'akol liyashiv a minig. It's to be miyashiv a minig. Because if there was no minig, not to be noyig in a kula as relates to chadosh, we wouldn't be having this conversation. The Rosh would have never written his tshuva about somehow every loan today is amanasha loitash mitena. We're not for the fact that there was a minig. He wrote the tshuva to be miyash of a minig, and he says all the reidach sam soifer when it comes to chadosh is all why it's to be miyash of a minig. Let's understand, be misplaining in the oimik what the sam soifer is saying. You say a shtickle Torah, why to be miyash of a Rambam, right? To be miyash of a Gemara, miyash of a Tosfos. We're saying a shtickle Torah. We're writing tshuvas. G'dayla yoylam are literally, they're breaking kulmasin to be miyashim min hagim. What's a minig? A minig is a bunch of yidin are doing the wrong thing. So what are we even discussing? What's this conversation about? What's this davar gadol? Kama kosha lishbar minig Yisrael. Because kama yitriach harosh liyashim a minig. And look at chadosh. These are two examples of min hagim that b'muscharishin have no havana in the world. But yet at the same time, they're minhagim. And because they're minhagim, there's an Indian. You have to be miyashiv the minig. Says the Chassam Sofer, umikol makom bal nefesh yachash la'atzmai. When it comes to all these inyanim, even though it's true, you see that the gedolim worked very, very hard to be miyashiv minhagim. But when it comes to a bal nefesh, he should be yachash la'atzmai. V'chein mili tuva, ein lemaher l'chadesh iser. And he goes, I hold as a klal that you should be very careful with mili tuv, a lot of different things. Don't go ahead to be mechadash iser, umikolshkein heter, and certainly don't be mechadash heterim, ki minig yisrael tayrehe. So if you see that yidin abim noyer kulas, don't be mechadash isurim. And certainly if you see yidin abim noyer chumbris, don't be mechadash kulas. The haklal, and the rule is, hachadash asim in atayre v'chal makim. The hachadash is asim in atayre, the hayashin umiyushin meshubach mimeno. This excerpt right here in the Chassam Sofer said many times, but this is the most epic application of it. Why? Because what was the Chassam Sofer talking about? He was talking about the fact that people are noyer kulis in two inyanim, in the inyan of Prozbul and in the inyan of Chadash. So the Chassam Sofer says that don't go ahead and try to tell people that you have to be machmir Chadash. You know why? Bachudash is usim and atayra, which is one of the great lines of all time. But the bottom line is that the Chassam Sofer took out of the first rush this inyan, and that is, you see the chshivas of a minute. That was the hergish that you take from the rush. The halacha from the rush is the halacha. Oh, but the hergish was, but the afaroistamim from the rush is the chshivas for a minig Yisrael. And that's what Chassam Sofer wrote to this Talmud, that you're coming up with this patent with eggs, ayin sham. But he says, your whole patent over here, he says, it's all going keneged a minig Yisrael, and you're going to be mechadish a chumra to all of a sudden decide that everyone's doing it wrong. Learn the rush in Hilchas Prozbul. That's what you should do. Look at the way the poiskim address the sugya of chadash. You want to be machmer, make al chadash, that's dine geshef. That's not what I'm saying. You should be machmer, the Chassam Sofer writes. But he says at the same time, take away the hergish, the sensitivity of what it means, minig Yisrael Torah, bein lahakel, bein lahachmer. This is where the Chassam Sofer quoted the first rush that we mentioned. The Chassam Sofer quotes the second one as well. And this is epic, ben benoy shal epic. The background is that there's last week, we started the week talking about the tshuva from the Rebbe Yehuda, Yerideya, Madura Kama, Simen Tzadik Gimel, where the Shoyl, Rabbi Sacher Ber Bloch, Sefsois of you, David Weiss Bekever, he wrote a Shoyl to Rebbe Yehuda about the Nusach of the Shem Yichud. And Rebbe Yehuda wrote back to him, Ad Sha'at Shoyal, you ask me questions on the Nusach, why don't you ask me a better question? Should you say the Lashem Yichud or not? And we spoke out the tshuva of the Rebbe Yehuda and the Ber Maim Chaim, and from there we got involved in the Chassam Sofer's tshuva in the Rechaim Simen Tezva, which was written to a shoyl of Avram Tzvi Katz, who apparently tried davening for the Yomid in a shtibel where they davened Nusach Sfarad, and he was wearing a beged of tzemer, and they were meicha. And the Olam told him that you can't wear a beged of tzemer. Why can't you wear a beged of tzemer? Because there's always the possibility that there might be also a chut of pishton. If there is, a chui tovi v'noz, which is Rosh Teva Satan, and there's a Chashash of Shatnez, and the Shlok, who the writes in Shara Oisius, that the Levush of the Satan is a beggar of Shatnez, and that's why Shatnez is Oisius, Satan as, and based on that, he made a very, very big macha. And the Chassam Sofer wrote back to him, and the Chassam Sofer told him, he says, I'm not familiar with this, and number one, this whole Indian of Satan as, and that there's a mile of Nusach Sfarad over Nusach Ashkenaz, and even though my Rebbe is from Nusach Ned and Laflod, they both have a Nusach Sfarad. That's only because the Arizal wrote his Kamanas on Nusach Sfarad, and the only reason he did that is because he was a Sfarad. But the emes is, had he davened Nusach Ashkenaz, he would have written Nusach Ashkenaz. Oh, and by the way, if there would be a Yid today that was able to be mechavet to all the Kabbalists that Arizal was mechavet to, and he davened Nusach Ashkenaz, he'd be able to write all the Kabbalists on Nusach Ashkenaz. Rabbi Tzala Koyim Vilna's Haskoma to the Vilna Goyin's Sidra and Niglav and Nisla Tvarim Niflaim Adlamoy. At the very, very end of this tshuva, the Chassam Sofer wrote one more thing to the Shai. And this is the part of the tshuva where he didn't speak out. Says the Chassam Sofer, Re'eze, Ro'isi b'minhagi mori agoyin, mar nosan adlo zeich tzadik l'vrach. He says, I want to tell you something that I saw in the minhagim of Rav Nosan Adlo. She b'yantiv shal sukkis, an yantiv sukkis, lo'ikara l'levi l'misha oichu chadash. He wouldn't give the ali of Levi to a person that ate chadash. During Sukkot, there was already chadash that was floating around. That's my yemizah. The oil of the Torah that gets Levi, he's going to read the pasuk in the Torah that mentions the iser chadash. And Rav Nosson Adler held that this yid's going to get up and give a bracha. And they're going to read this pasuk. The Shuv Yishten is going to come home and he's going to make l'chaim on brofen. Sheikha v'yayin tzorof v'yoycho pitay ha-mechumetz b'shimrei sheikha shel roif poiskim gamaz manazeh u'day reisa. So Rav Nosson Adler had a kpeda. He said, I saw this in the Minhagim, that he wouldn't allow someone to have Levi in the event that he was someone that wasn't makben on chadash. So says the Chassam Sofer, to Mar Avram Tzvi Katz. Ukiyotze bezeh hasht. Says, I'm going to tell you like this. This year is Shnas HaShmita. It's a Shmita year. Einoi roi likreis b'toyro lo yigois esreyeyo. I don't think you should give the aliyah of lo yigois esreyeyo l'misha loy also pruzbol erev Rosh Hashanah ha'avar b'knisas HaShmita. To any person that didn't make pruzbol erev the seventh year. V'gam yasa pruzbol erev Rosh Hashanah ba'al leinu l'toy v'b'yitziyasa. And also, make sure that before you give away the aliyah of lo yigois, that this person that's going to be Oyla Torah is somebody that's going to make a prosbul in the beginning of the eighth year as well. To be Yaitza, all the Poiskim, Ayin Chayshim Mishpat Simen Samach Zayin. And what would you see if you're Ayin Chayshim Mishpat Simen Samach Zayin? You see the Rosh. That is an Indian that could be that you already have to make the prosbul before the seventh year. All the Poiskim hold before the eighth year. The Rosh hold before the seventh year. So lots of Kala Poiskim, you should do it in both. This is something that you should be Nizarin. But to daven in a beged semer ain't lachish l'dvar. That's not something you should listen to. Unless you're going to explain to me a little bit better the soides of a beged semer and nusach svar, oz oidalo emes, imhu emes. Misha shmoy emes, yoyreni derech yivkor ve'echten bebracha, Moshe akot and soifa mi Frankfurt amai. This is the way the Chassam Soifa ended this tshuva. So, ma'inyin shmita itzal harsina. Pun intended. There's a Meir de Goimek over here. This is what's happening in this Tshuva. It's Pashat Adam Oida. I discussed this with the Moshe Shlomiak. It's Pashat. This is what's happening over here in this Tshuva. And really, you have to know another Tshuva. And this Tshuva is also in Shailos Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. This is a Chosha Mishpat. It's Simen Nun. There was a Shoyal that asked the Chassam Sofer a Shaila. He wanted to know if he should write a Pruzbol Erev Shmita. That was the Shailos. Erev the seventh year. He wants to write a prosbul. Why does he want to write a prosbul? Because he wants to be chayish for the rush. So he wants to know if he should write a prosbul. So the Chassam Sofer writes back to him like this. I know uvda yodana. I'll tell you a story. Shemoy v'rabi. Hachos izeich tzadik levracha masa dvarov lefonai. V'chadi imi besoif shnas tofkuf mem dalid. Hanichnas v'tofkuf mem hei. Dahainu soif hashmita. I can tell you a story with my Rebbe. Who's Meiri V'Rabbi Achatzus Tzatzal? It's the Rav Nosson Adler. That my Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler, he was Mosad Lefonai, B'Mili, it was in today's daf, you don't have to write the prosbul, you can say it Balpeh. He said over, and he did it in the year Tavkuf Mem Dalet that was going into Tavkuf Mem Hei, meaning at the end of Shemitah, Erev at the end of Shemitah. So my Rebbe was Noik to write a prosbul when? At the end of the Shemitah year. V'Yodana, and the Chassam Sofer said, I know, Shalai also prosbul B'Soif Tavkuf Mem Gim, that he did not make a prosbul at the end of the sixth year. You know, I know that because I didn't leave my Rebbe for 1 second to observe every single coming and going, every single move that the Rebbe did. So I know that my Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler, who was the chosid of the kahuna, who was the big tzaddik and mekubal v'chule v'chule, he wasn't makpid on this rush. He wasn't makpid to write a prosbul. I know when he wrote a prosbul, I was there. And I know for sure he didn't write a prosbul the first year, because even though saying that I didn't see something is not a raya, but by me it's a raya. Because I literally, and then the Chassam Sofer says, v'tam rabbi ikka. He says, it's Pasha why he didn't do it. Because all it is the Rosh, and he makes a whole cheshbend about intercedent based on a gear, some mishubeshes. And he says, Pasha, you have to be chayish for it. At the end, he says something very interesting. And he says, V'kivin shanuscha mutas, ein lanu, he says it's about the Rosh, lahamzi droshes bekrosh, lai huskru b'shas. The whole Rosh was a mamish hashtikal toyer in a pasik. It was a drosh in a pasik. Mamish, it felt like you're learning Yud Gimel Midrash HaToyer in a drosh. We don't have the places to do that. But either way, the Chassam Sofer writes mefurish. He told the Shoyal, don't be naiv. This is not a chumra. You should be naiv. You're not supposed to be naiv, this chumra. I'll tell you, my Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler wasn't knowing this chumra. What is he writing to Rabbi Avram Tzvi Katz in this tshuva? He's telling him, you want a chumra, I'll give you a good chumra. He says, when it comes to aliyah of the parish of Shemitah's Ksafen, do not give the aliyah to someone that wasn't knowing this chumra. What's happening over here? He wrote mefurish to the shayl, don't take on this chumra. He said Rav Nosson Adler didn't take on the chumra. And now this is like a chumra ben benoishal chumra. Don't give the aliyah to someone that doesn't take on this chumra. What's Pashab Shah? The teretz is, that is the nekuda. Hein, hein, advarim. The kasha is the teretz. The Chassam Sofer was presented with a chumra. The chumra was, don't allow a yid to daven nusach svar if he's wearing a beged shel tzemer. The Chassam Sofer said, I pashat, I know uvda lo yodana. I don't know anything about this chumra. I pashat don't know what it means. Explain it to me, I'll be moed alo emes. But in terms of understanding the chumra, I don't understand. Now he says, you want to be machmer? I have no problem. And not just that, I'll give you an example of a chumrah that you should be machmer. And the example that he was giving him was a mashal that was done to the nimshal. It was a chumrah yisera ad lamaid, a chumrah that hitaka wasn't noyig, a chumrah that the chosid shebekuna wasn't noyig. But at the same time, he says, I'll give you a mahalach, a blueprint. I'll be the architect for you so you understand you have avon and vos meta chumrah. A chumrah is something that has a makar in halacha. This is what the Chassam Saif was telling you. So he said, you want a chumrah that has a makar in halacha? I'll give you a chumrah that has a makar in halacha. There's a shita sarash that says you're supposed to write two prosbols. It was the year of Shemitah, that's why he's telling it to him. So he said, this year, you should be noyig this inyan. And said the Chassam Sofer, and the moshel's mamish the nimshel. Because this chumrah that the oilam was being chayish for was, don't allow someone to daven for the yomir if he was wearing a bag of chaltzemer. So he mamish went, mamish the moshel was doing it to the nimshel. Don't give someone an aliyah, right? Don't daven for the yomir, don't give someone an aliyah. Don't give somebody an aliyah in the event that this person is not chayish for this chumrah. The Chassam Sofer was lahedya telling him a chumrah that he didn't believe in. That was the whole point. You can ask a steer in the Chassam Sofer. Yeah, the Chassam Sofer tells him, don't give him an aliyah. The text, you have to go through the whole tshuva. You have to understand the context. You can't just take this one line of Chassam Sofer and ask of im toimah v'yeish loimah. But you have to tu'a darach the tshuva. That's what's happening in this tshuva. The yid is coming to him with a chumrah yaseira. Chassam Sofer said, I'm asking to hear it. And fakad, the Rechayim, the big tzaddikim wrote tshuvas to explain it. Good. But the point is, the Chassam Sofer said, you want to know my mahalach and chumras? I'll tell you my mahalach. My mahalach and chumras is, it has to be rooted in a dvar halacha. So if you want to say that in our Beis HaKnesses we have rules that people that don't take on chumras, so that's a hilchis Beis HaKnesses, so what's going to be the rule? That if you're wearing a beged shel tzemer, you can't daven for the yomid because there's a chashash that might be pishton. You have a makar, you have a rishon that has such a chashash. Where's it coming from? And it doesn't have a makar, that it's not something that I'm asking to. Unless you explain it to me, then I'll be willing to accept it. But if you want to say a similar, I'm not going to give someone an aliyah. How are you going to allow a person to be, even though that chumra, you have to know what's the makar to that halacha. Chassam Sofer is saying it in the name of his rebbe. But not to give someone an aliyah that's not chayish for the prusbel of the rosh, that I could hear. But the bottom line is, the two rushes that play themselves out very, very stark here in Perek HaShelech, in the sugyas of Shemitah's Ksafim, they play themselves out also in some of the drama here in Tshuva's Chassam Sofer in terms of understanding, not much understanding, but the abyssal merit, and an oimik, the mahalach, the holich yelich, of the Heilige, Heilige Chassam Sofer, a little bit of a hashlama to some of the raid that we spoke about last week. We will end here.